If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Tuesday morning means we catch up with Tim Wilms from the Unshackled.net in Melbourne to catch up on what's been happening across the Tasman and the lucky continent. And Tim is with us now. Hi, Tim. Nice to have you back.
Hi, Paul. Good to be back. I'm still recovering from my illness, but as we said last week, it's definitely not long COVID. And good to be back. And now Melbourne over the past weekend, it was supposed to be showcased to the world as a sports and major events capital with the Formula One Grand Prix around Albert Park Lake. Instead, what was broadcast around the world was the Trans Tifa Freak Show outside the Victorian State Parliament on Saturday afternoon, where Antifa socialist terrorists, mainly males wearing masks and cross-dressing, attempted to violently attack a Women Will Speak event organised by the local Women's Action Group.
Okay, so I saw footage of some demented person shouting at a policeman on a horse. I saw a fight in one of the streets.
That was these Trans-Tifa terrorists attacking a live streamer who goes by the name Auditing Australia. His first name is Shane. They smashed his phone and I think stole it and tried to grab his tripod and told him to kill himself.
Okay, so these people are quite violent.
It's the worst Antifa violence that I've seen in the Melbourne CBD in a long time. They've been at it for years, ever since the Patriot movement started to gather in the Melbourne CBD in 2015. And they've gone after the women's rights campaigners, or the TERFs. Their argument is that they've got Nazis with them. There was no National Socialist Network members present, although they have smeared one of the co-organisers of the event, a man by the name of Matt Treahy, who leads the National Workers Alliance. So he's part of a group of freedom activists who still every Saturday march down the Melbourne CBD, because price of liberty is eternal vigilance. But they smear him as a Nazi because 6 years ago he was a member of the Lads Society, which was Thomas Sowell's previous group, but he has no association with the National Socialist Network. And they spotted a man with a black sun tattoo. So that was their conclusive proof that the TERFs were collaborating with Nazis.
It seems to me that this is heading for some sort of showdown. It's pretty clear to the average person that these people are quite troubled in terms of their mental health, right? I mean, let's be honest about it. That behavior is completely over the top. It's aimed mainly at women.
Terrorism. I mean, the definition of terrorism is the use of violence or threat of violence to achieve a political aim. And they want to crush these women's rights activists, these TERFs. There was one sign that said, TERFs out of women's bathrooms.
Wow. Okay.
And
I'm just trying to process that. Okay.
Yeah, there was a megaphone that says this megaphone kills Nazis. It was something like
that.
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw that on the side of the megaphone. Yeah.
So Victoria Police, they said they arrested two women. And we have self-ID in Victoria, gender self-ID, where you can change the gender on your birth certificate every 12 months.
So were they women they arrested then?
Well, apparently, but we don't know whether they were biological women. There was one who, one man, it was clearly a man who was arrested by Victoria Police, and his pink wig fell off. And it sort of reminded me of Austin Powers when he's like, they don't know woman, it's a man, baby.
Yeah. What about all the mask wearing? Are these COVIDiots or is that part of just hiding your...
It's a cover. They say be COVID safe. That's what the Antifa...
Well, that shows that they're mentally ill.
And they also told people to wear their kafalas, their Palestinian tea towels, to continue to show your solidarity. Probably many of
them. They don't care about the Palestinians. They don't care about them.
At the Victorian port container the night before, blocking access to the port because apparently Melbourne were sending lots of parts for munitions for Israel. And by blocking access to the port, that means that containers can't be loaded and unloaded. And it's the last thing that this state needs in our economic situation and cost of living crisis. Victoria Police's solution is that they want a permit system for rallies, which, not surprisingly, Victoria Police want more.
Yeah, but what about the rubber bullets? I mean, they were quite happy to fire them at... people before, why not fire them again? Or the sonic weapons?
Well, this is the thing. They've already got powers to. There was clearly lots of these Trantifa terrorists who, engaging in violence. Yet there was only two arrests. They, as far as I know, they didn't even follow up arresting those Trantifa who attacked them at Melbourne's Pride March a number of weeks ago. So they didn't even go after people who assaulted them with pink paint. Yeah. But of course the authorities there, their solution is just give us more power and that'll fix everything.
Yeah, but they seem to favour one side usually. That's what happened here a year ago.
The Victoria Police hierarchy is full of social justice warriors. I could name names, but we probably haven't got time for that.
Okay.
Victoria Police hierarchy who are social justice warriors.
I think they need to do something. I saw some of that footage. It was alarming. And people will start to take the law into their own hands soon if they're not careful. Do we really want that?
Well, we've already had one of the National Socialist Network members. His family car firebombed in the western suburb of Werribee. Victoria Police didn't find the two masked people who did that. So it already is way out of control. This left wing terrorism.
Wow, conversion therapy ban in New South Wales has passed, has it?
Yes, so this brings New South Wales into line with Queensland and, of course, Victoria. So there was an attempt into the New South Wales upper house where it was an all-night debate to split the conversion ban so it wouldn't, it would only cover gay conversion therapy, not trans conversion therapy, because of course advocating for a watchful waiting, that maybe asking some questions if a child says their gender are confused, if you don't...
Yeah, there's an idea. Ask some questions. Wow, what an idea.
If you don't immediately affirm, then that's conversion therapy.
Yeah, but affirming is conversion therapy as well.
Oh, but remember these conversion therapy bans, they only go one way.
Yeah, it's a one-way street. Does no one see that?
Well, clearly not enough legislators. And yeah, this is just the first part of the equality reforms this is not being led by the New South Wales Labor government, Chris Minns. It's by the Sydney Independent member, Alex Greenwich, who used to be the convener of Australian Marriage Equality, which is now Quality Australia. The way that it worked before all these self-ID laws is that trans people had to have a surgery. But
right. Now you can just be anything you think you are.
Yes, you can change. Well, in Victoria, You can change it to whatever gender you want, as long as it's not obscene.
Well, what would be obscene?
Attack helicopter. I know that was.
Well, why is that obscene?
Because Lauren Southern made a joke about.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry, I missed that one. Yeah. Oh dear. Oh.
And Victoria is even performing surgery on minors.
With parental consent?
Yes. Reports of a 15-year-old biological female getting a double mastectomy at the Royal Children's Hospital.
Royal Children's Hospital. This sounds horrific.
And the health minister, Marianne Thomas, denied it, that they perform gender-affirming procedures.
So they did, but she denied it.
Yes.
Why?
Well, the source was a trans parents forum. So it was a mother bragging. And then there was another.
Oh, mother. Here we go. Yeah.
Wants their 12-year-old trans son to get one as well.
Oh, dear. It's just getting to levels of lunacy that you just wouldn't believe. Okay. And so self-ID, does that require any parental involvement?
Well, not in the ACT if you're older than 14 years old. It was 16. They reduced it to 14. A child who is 14 and over can change their gender, change their name without parental permission.
One way to rip a family to pieces, I'd say. All right. I think we need to get off that before my blood boils. Immigration. How many are coming in, Tim?
Well, supposedly the Albanese government, they said that they were reducing mass immigration this year. So we had 680,000 net arrivals last year. We've just reached 27 million population. And so the target this year is 375,000. Anthony Albanese, his rationale for this, the flood was, we're making up for COVID. This is what we're doing. And now we're just getting things
convenient
to normal. Although it doesn't, based on the month of January, we could be set for another record immigration year. So there were 125,000 permanent and long-term arrivals who landed in Australia this January. So that's a record. So the net arrivals were 55,000. That's 40% higher than the highest January intake ever recorded. And we also had 82,000 international students who arrived in January.
Wow. Okay.
Now, despite these arrivals and the new housing targets, the housing accords, there is not enough new homes being constructed to house these all the new arrivals and the people that we've already got.
So where do they go? Where do they live?
Well, Melbourne, Adelaide, and I think Sydney are in the top 10 homeless indexes. So we're on the road to San Francisco, it seems, where they have those tent cities.
Yep.
So there was only 166,000 new dwellings last calendar year, which if you calculate that by the increase in population, one new residence for every 4.5 people. And the state governments of Victoria and New South Wales, they're part of their big housing build. Well, that's what it's called in Victoria, is to build up, not out and around train stations. So have the 15-minute cities. That's the idea. Oh, and yeah. lots of high rises, which the apartments are often known as dog boxes. Pauline Hanson, One Nation founder and leader, I put forward a motion in the Senate for there to be a plebiscite on immigration. It was voted down by all the major parties, Labor, Liberal, National, Greens, and David Pocock, the independent from the ACT. Because according to the Liberals, the question is too complex to put to the people. And Labor just said, how dare Pauline Hanson even raise the issue? And when it comes to, because it's becoming a big issue, but a lot of commentators and journalists are tiptoeing around. They just talk about, well, our infrastructure can't handle it. This is what the mayor of Liverpool, Ned Mannoon, said. It's in southwestern Sydney that LGA is getting 100 new residents every week. The greater southwestern part of Sydney, if you include all the LGA, is getting 500 new residents every week, and the roads are already clogged. But you're not allowed to talk about the other aspect of mass migration, the cultural change that comes with it. And obviously we have the bipartisan pivot to mass immigration from India. And as I've said, in the Melbourne CBD last year, we had a riot between Indian Sikhs and Hindus over a Punjabi Palestine a pretend independence referendum. We're going to have a lot more. It was Harmony Day, I think, last Friday.
Nice.
We're going to have a lot of a disharmony, I think, in the future. But that's too tricky to talk about.
When you said that this is a catch-up, whoever said that, was it Albanese, said that this is a catch-up on COVID. So that's catching up with the immigration that didn't happen for 3 years, and that's accelerated. So what, Australia can't get by without immigrants? Is that really the...
That's always the narrative, that Australia was built on wave after wave.
That might be so, but if you can't accommodate them and it's there's a cultural mismatch, then... And
this is unprecedented.
What's the argument for it?
But there's a lot of economists who are apologists for mass migration, that it's infinite, that we should just... Well, they say let the market rip, but government in reality holds all the levers when it comes to housing and infrastructure, so they can... they're pulling the immigration lever, but they're not. They say they're pulling the housing and infrastructure lever as well, but they're not really.
All right. Commonwealth Games cancellation, final wash up on what that cost.
Yes. So Dan Andrews, our now ex-premier, proclaimed he was a genius for cancelling the Commonwealth Games for 2026 that he bid for the fee of $380 million, but it was going to cost the state in total $6.9 billion. The state auditor general has found that the total cancellation costs was a $589 million, and the total cost blowout, $6.9 billion, was exaggerated, involved a lot of double counting.
Right, okay.
And the Victorian state government, they recently paid for the Cadinia Park in Geelong, where one of the Commonwealth Games venues, it's known as GMBHBA Stadium. So their most recent redevelopment of that cost over $200 million to the Victorian taxpayers.
Boy, they splash it around, don't they?
And going up to Queensland in the wash-up of the Queensland local government elections and the two state by-elections, we've got a state election up there on October 26. Both the Labor government under Giggles Stephen Miles, as he's nicknamed, and the Liberal National Opposition Leader David Crisafulli, fully, they're not going to knock down and rebuild the Gabba cricket ground, which was going to be the Olympic stadium. They're going to, it holds 37,000 for AFL and test cricket. They're going to knock it down and rebuild it for only 50,000, and that was going to cost at least $2 billion. So that was deeply unpopular. So there was a review that was chaired by former Lord Mayor of Brisbane, Graham Quirk, which recommended a new stadium built at Victoria Park, but that would have taken away green space from the city of Brisbane. And so what is now the bipartisan position is at the cost of $1.5 billion to redevelop the 1982 Brisbane Commonwealth Games Stadium, the Queensland Athletic and Sports Centre, which used to be called the Queen Elizabeth II Stadium. And so but that's not going to be where the opening ceremony is. That's going to be at Suncorp Stadium, the rugby league stadium, rectangular. They're going to spend $1.5 billion to give it a seating capacity of 40,000, but then they're going to tear down the seats so it'll be 14,000 after. So $1.5 billion for a athletic stadium that's going to be not really used,
like temporary
afterwards.
Yeah, temporary sort of thing. Wow. Okay. There's a lot of money there. Hundreds and hundreds, or billions, right? Okay. And let's finish up on this. The Tasmanian election. What's happened there?
Where taxpayer money for stadiums was also a key issue. So this was a state election held a year early by Liberal Premier Jeremy Rockcliffe, because he decided he couldn't work anymore with two Liberal defectors to the crossbench who wanted more transparency and accountability around the AFL stadium, which is going to be built at Macquarie Point. This is going to be a $715 million stadium for an AFL team, which is only going to have seven games per season, because Tasmania is a state divided between its capital, Hobart, and its northern main city, Launceston. Because the AFL, basically, they've blackmailed their state government, saying if there's no stadium, there's no AFL team. So the Tasmanian state government, they pledged for this stadium, Jeremy Rockcliffe, $375 million. Albanese chipped in $240 million. And they're going to upgrade the York Park Stadium in Launceston. And the state and federal governments have chipped in $65 million each. And Tasmania only has a population less than 600,000. But the AFL was very sneaky. They launched the Tasmanian Devils Football Club a week before the election and got 150,000 Tasmanians to sign up as foundation members. And so basically this was hanging over voters when they went to the polls. They love, obviously, to get a quarter of the state signing up for an AFL team which isn't going to launch until 2028. Now, despite Jeremy Rockcliffe saying that he went to the election for stability, because he increased the size of the Tasmanian parliament from 25 to 35 seats, and Tasmania has a unique proportional representation system known as Hare Clark. So there's five multi-member electorates. So under the old parliament with 25 members, there was five members per electorate. Now there's seven members per electorate, which means that the quota to get a seat in the Tasmanian parliament has gone down from 16.7% to 12.5%. Are you following, Paul? I'm not sure.
I'm trying.
So it's different from your mixed member proportionate system. And so each party has a ticket which has all their candidates on them. Right. But actually the candidates of each party are competing against each other as well, because you can vote for, you have to do at least 1 to 7 for the candidates. So Tasmania has had this for over 100 years and it's never been reformed. And because of the lower quota and also it's a national trend to independents and minor parties, it is a hung parliament with the Liberals will end up with the most seats. Though they had a 12% swing against them, their primary vote went to 37%. The Labor Party failed to crack 30% of the vote. The Tasmanian Greens, they got 13%. They're famous for being most COVID crazy party in Australia.
Of course.
Their MPs wanted to, back in 2022, remask school children.
Yep. Okay.
But the breakthrough party is the Jackie Lambie Network, the federal Tasmanian senator, who famously told an anti-stadium rally, "You can stick your stadium right up your bum." Though she's not threatening to, as part of a coalition negotiations, even though the Liberals treated her party or network appallingly, setting up a fake website against her network.
Wow. Okay.
I should say it's reason it's called a network is because not a party is because her elected people will they'll be the ones who they'll have independence to negotiate the deal. It's not like One Nation where it's all centralized around Pauline, but obviously Jackie Lambie is. Yep. Is the brand. And so the Tasmanian Liberal Party, despite Jeremy Rockcliffe claiming that he'd won the party a fourth term, is now in minority, a less stable position than he was.
Funny how things turn out in the end. Tim, we're up against time. Tim Wilms from the Unshackled.net Melbourne, thanks for bringing us up to date with what's been happening in your part of the world. We'll talk soon.
We will do, Paul. Have a good Easter, you and everyone at Reality Check Radio.
You too, and I hope you're feeling better, Tim, soon.
I'm sure I will. I have no intention of becoming a sickness victim.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.